summer, I got a chance to visit Cary, North Carolina. Cary is a community that sits just outside of Raleigh, and let me tell you, it is gorgeous. Cary is covered in these giant leafy trees that you just can't get to grow the same way out here in California. All of the buildings are done in a classic brick, everything from fancy restaurants to your ordinary drugstore. And everyone I interacted with while I was there was just so nice. This typical city girl, every time I climbed into an Uber ready to scream, "Gah, I'm late, rules the road be damned, get me there now," my driver ended up having this calming presence that just resolved stress and magically got me to my meetings on time. But what stood out the most was that this quintessential community feel made for the perfect juxtaposition. You see, Cary's governing body is implementing cloud technology in some truly visionary ways. Ways that might as well be right out of an episode of the Jetsons, quite frankly. For example, they built a text 311 app that makes it easy to send in service requests while you're out and about in the community. I know that may sound pretty ordinary, but can you text your city? They also built an app that turns Alexa into a call center agent. So, say you're getting ready to leave for work and you notice the city missed your trash bin in that morning's pickup. You can say, "Hey Alexa, tell the town of Cary they missed my trash pickup," and Alexa will log a ticket for you, read you back your case number. And if that's still not cool enough, Cary took the wow factor even one step further. They built an app that turns the community's stoplights into connected devices. If one of those stoplights goes into flash mode, it notifies the traffic department automatically and streamlines the servicing process. It also notifies Waze to reroute drivers, mitigating the impact on traffic. These apps are really cool, but what makes them visionary is the context that surrounds them. If you look back, I don't know, a decade or so maybe, technology used to be a part of our business models. A necessary part, sure, but a part nonetheless. Things like word processors in the office of a broadcast network or Excel spreadsheets being used to plan out bus schedules. But today, technology has become the business model. Think about the number of app-based businesses you see, like Uber or Twitter. They don't have traditional websites or storefronts. The service is enabled by technology, is because of technology. Or how you now see digital-first publications like BuzzFeed having a seat at the White House press briefing room. Cary gets that. They get that the more apps they build to extend their 311 platform, the more they position technology as the foundational element to delivering modern government services. In this episode, you're going to hear from Nicole Raimundo, CIO for the town of Cary. She will share her thoughts on how these apps are more than cool pops of color, but rather a part of a larger strategy that connects people, process, and technology across her community. She'll also talk about the opportunities the strategy represents, not just for Cary, but also for government as an industry. And we'll close out with her advice on how to try standing up your own cutting-edge apps, her recommended approach, questions to think about, and so on. This is Our Digital Nation, back in a minute.
Our Digital Nation is brought to you by the FedRAMP-approved Salesforce Government Cloud. Give leadership, management, and employees the mobile, self-service, analytical tools they need to connect data, process, and people. Create a digital platform that puts the customer at the heart of the mission.
I think it was probably November, somewhere in that, I feel like that Christmas shopping area. And we were seeing all of the news, the volumes about Alexa and how that was the numbers of folks that were using those.
Yeah.
And it got me to thinking about, how can we leverage that? Can we build an app on top of that? How do we look at the market like you would almost do in a private industry and look and say, wow, this is a huge market opportunity for people that are using this technology. Well, let's see how we as a town can use that same technology to service our citizens, knowing that now they're going to have these in their home, right? Let's figure out that connection point, right? We are going through this. I look at it as this whole evolution of how do we look at government services differently? How do we engage with our community in a whole different way?
Okay.
When you kind of sit back and you're reflective of your own day, and you know, you receive a text notification of a reminder of a dentist appointment, you know, you're like, why am I not doing this for our own city services? You're like, I'm seeing this in my life. And we all think about Amazon, right? And how fast delivery services. And we are really, in a way, kind of competing with that level of service. So I think it's really important for us to think about how do we make those connection points and how do we look at those sort of best of breed apps that everybody uses today. So whether it's something like the Open Table that, you know, we use to go make dinner reservations, well, why don't we design an interface or something that looks similar to that feel for reserving a tennis court, right? We're always looking for ways to cut down those interactions to make it quick.
Cool.
So for us, being able to offer that service out to our community where they can very quickly, while they're checking the morning news or the briefing in the morning, they can also say, hey, Alexa, I need a new recycling bin, right? Because we want to make this all similar and feel very, you know, something like you would use every day instead of something that's so foreign to them that they're like, I don't know what this is. And I really believe that by using those technologies and connecting with them, we're really connecting with our community. We're bringing them closer to us. So the Alexa app, not only does it do information, of course, it offers information about our municipal government, right? So you can find out who your council member is, as well as where the open gym time. But the key to me is really that transactional piece. It's the service. It's the, I need a new recycling bin, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we've been really smart the way we've done it in terms of piloting. We have a board that comes in once a month of citizens.
Okay.
A technology board. And so we use them as well. As
kind of like a beta group?
Yeah. Okay. They come in and share their ideas of what they would like the town to do or how we could better communicate and use technology. But we gave them all a dot and said, go test it out. Like, go break it. And what else would you like to hear?
Okay.
To make sure that we're building that connection and making sure we get it right before we roll it out. We have a group internally, it's like we like to call them our Gov Rebels, that really push out these ideas and try to rally the team to come together and build new applications, but to be empowered, right? To look at things even in their own work area and say, I've been doing this the same way for a long time, and start to think about, well, why have I been doing this the same way for so long, right?
Yeah.
And have that little light bulb moment that turns into a spark of an idea that empowers them instead of, often you see the opposite where it's you roll out some software package or whatever it may be and people feel like their work is being changed and that's a sense of loss. And I think we've done an excellent job is flipping it and saying, think of those light bulb moments. Think of how you can transform your own work, be part of this whole culture that is changing and transforming government. Like, let Carrie, like, be a part of that leadership that we're out there making all these changes, working with our community, giving them new, innovative ways to connect with us and bring that whole sense of we're all doing this together. And that's a great sense of pride, both externally for them to see it, but internally in their own work. Like, I had a piece of that. I mean, that's a really cool feeling.
What Nicole has touched on here is something that we talk about rather extensively within Salesforce and is going to play an increasingly prominent role in government going forward, at least in my humble opinion. Customers, whether you classify them as citizens, voters, constituents, clientele, etc., aren't the only ones impacted by your ability to embrace the next generation of business models, of mission models. Your employees are too, especially as we as a society continue to move into this fourth industrial revolution. The fourth industrial revolution is the next era of technological advancement, just like we saw the steam era, the electricity era, or most recently, the computing era. It's one that's driven by connectedness, defined by data, and harnessed by pioneers, by innovators, by trailblazers. Here's what I mean by that. As timely, targeted, smartphone-ready service models have become the new norm, they've driven more industries to bring more mission-critical resources online. Stoplights and home assistant bots included. As more things come online, they generate more data from more points of connection. This is what makes artificial intelligence brought to life in devices like Alexa work. With more information about more parts of that big picture, we get the kind of statistical significance that only comes from having an extremely large and comprehensive data set. This, combined with the computing power of the third industrial revolution, gives Alexa the skill set she needs to make reliable, repeatable recommendations. When she's logging that missed trash ticket, all she's doing is crunching through tons of data that informs her ability to make a relevant decision. Which brings me to the trailblazer part. The people who will be most successful in this fourth industrial revolution are those who not only recognize the significance of things like connected devices or AI, but also see how to act upon them, creating applications, platforms, and training programs that turn data and devices into ideas and into services. Those who understand the power that comes from involving the community in this transformation process. Those who unlock new opportunities for their employees. Those who see that doing good and doing well are one and the same. This is what Nicole is describing firsthand.
We're very careful to make sure that we include folks that they're like, I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to develop or come up, write the code for now, but I have this great idea. So we want to make sure that we're inclusive of bringing everybody in and taking that. Sometimes I think people get a little nervous or scared that it's like, well, it's technology. It's not my thing. That's not what I do.
I'm not a coder.
I'm not a developer. How do I participate or be intimidated? And I'll say that when we had our first hackathon, we were very careful to make sure that we included folks that had ideas and putting them in teams where they felt safe, mm-hmm. you know, and felt part of it, as opposed to just being in the room with a bunch of developers and being like, I just feel completely out of place. Meet George Jetson.
Okay, so these are very cool. And that's always how I've described the story to any of my colleagues internally. I'm like, you've got to hear this. It is just such a cool story. But there's a lot more to things like these apps than just a flash in the pan or kind of a cool color spot. Can you talk to me a little bit about how this is driving back to the overall strategy, back to that foundational aspect we were talking about?
For sure. I mean, the text 311, right? It's going to provide a whole nother level of service and engagement. And we're collecting all that data. You know, don't forget that at the end of the day, all of this is providing data to us and helps us look at where we need to improve services, perhaps, right? So if we put text 311 out across all of our parks or our trails or our bathrooms, whatever that may be, we're very quickly able to tell what needs to be serviced. So in terms of efficiency, right now we have folks that drive around, right? It's part mm-hmm. of their job is they drive around and make sure that all the facilities are looking sparkling. But if we had that data very quickly, right? I mean, we could maneuver and we could use the field service and say, go it out there quickly, right?
Yeah.
So if there's a water overflowing bubbler or whatever it yeah. may be, we can get them out quickly to service it, where before we might just be waiting until someone kind of makes those rounds. So I think in terms of our service level, our efficiency that we're gaining, all of the data and the insights, I mean, they're all coming back to one platform. And so we'll be able to see where things might need to be tweaked, whether it's at the beginning of a process, the end of a process, or we just decide, well, that one didn't work, right? We're not getting the value of it. I mean, there is always that where we could say, well, we're not seeing value. Mm-hmm. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to come back to all the data and just give us the great insights that we need. The Alexa app is one piece, as is the text 311 and the connected lights. But together, all of those things are very powerful and they drive economic development as well. So you have to kind of take it looking at it as a holistic approach, as opposed to a like, oh yeah, Alexa app, that's really kind of cool. And it is cool. And it's great that we can find a way to serve our citizens in a whole new way. But when you start to look at all the pieces of the things that we're trying to do, it just makes Cary that much better of a community. So, you know, yeah. businesses are going to want to come here. You know, community members are going to want to go out to parks more. I mean, it's just going to drive a whole different era of the way that carry is looked at.
Yeah.
So there's a bigger thing going on than just the coolness factor of each application that we put out there.
What does the future of carry look like with some of these cool apps and, you know, how you're piecing them together in this more strategic approach?
We have got a lot of exciting projects coming up. We are now at the point where we look at services. We're trying to think about how do we be proactive.
Yeah.
And I think the tools are helping us get there. We will certainly want to get to the predictive. I think the traffic signals are a perfect example of
where
we will get to the predictive, right? And the interesting thing about when we talk about the connected traffic lights and where it's set up to tell us if one goes in flash, and that's something that typically we would either have to see in the traffic center or a citizen would call in. It'll be interesting because as we're able to get that predictive, right, or even proactive where it sends in and we send somebody out, ideally, the thing I love about that is our citizens may not even know.
Yeah.
Right? Like before, it's like you might be in a traffic jam and we have got to send the officer out there to help with the traffic. But the fact that you're like, they won't even know because we've directed traffic around it is totally seamless. That's when we really start to think about all of the interactions of someone that lives and works and plays in our community and how can we make that better? How do we make all those things connected? They're not even think about it. And it's magic, you know, right? It just kind of happens. And I think we'll get there very quickly, especially as the technology matures. And I think we have a really good holistic approach as to how we do that and make sure that we're protecting everyone's privacy. But I think those are the types of things that we'll see. I always talk about building a connected community, not a smart city, but building a connected community, because I think connection is not just the IoT. The connection is you receiving that personalized email or text that says, hey, Claire, don't forget you got to register for whatever today, you know, the deadline, or, you know, your inspector is coming out to check your deck permit. And so I think that to me is connected. Right.
Yeah.
And it's not just that really cool IoT, which is really cool, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think it's all of that is the connection. So I really think about building a connected community as opposed to a smart city. So I think the government of the future really is that trust in what we're doing is the best thing for you. And I think by building all these applications, and I think typically government hasn't been seen as generally innovators, right? So I think by changing that and letting people into there, you know, you become more part of your community. Sometimes I think we're a little disconnected, right? It's just like someone comes by and picks up my trash every day. I pay my bills. And I think this is a really unique opportunity. I think the technology provides us this unique opportunity for people to really become part of their community. So almost like they're so ingrained in it more that they're going to care more about what's going on in their community, because I think they'll have more access to it and more communication flowing both ways. So it's not just the people that come by and pick up my trash and pay my bills, that they really become part of that community and they shape it, right? I mean, the community should be shaping the future and telling us what we want. And we know, even on a bigger scale, national scale, that voting numbers are always low, right? Engagement is hard. And I truly believe that the more that we can leverage in technology in a means that seems relevant to them and connects to them on a personal level, right? Because it does allow us to be much more personalized, right? I mean, that's the benefit of gathering the data and understanding that you have a child that plays baseball. And hey, by the way, guess what? USA Baseball has a big tournament this weekend. You should come over and watch, right? And so it's those connection points that it's like, oh, okay. And so I think that's going to allow us to really connect more with the community and be more conscious of decisions that we make as we continue to evolve the community, whether it's building this brand new gorgeous downtown park and library. But I think more of that input and people feeling like, I want to be part of that, right? Like, you know, the communication seems back and forth on a much more personal level. And I think that was missing from government before.
James, stop this crazy thing! OK, Okay, let's talk about when these ideas were first proposed. And I'm asking this thinking about that if you were to walk in and say, we're going to build an Alexa app, people go, wait, what? So can you talk to me a little bit about some of the lessons you learned, some of your experience in pitching something like this?
I mean, that is a perfect question because there's a couple of things to it. One, I think you really need to think about what is the value at the end of the day that someone's going to get out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And what is the risk? And is all of that going to be worth it? You know, I would communicate certainly with other folks and kind of run it by them and kind of test things. We're very big into, you know, developing things at that kind of minimum viable product, right, stage. Yeah. Like, let's do something quick and test it out. I don't think that there's necessarily crazy ideas out there, but I think you have to think it through and think of not just that value that you see, right? So not just the value you see of the service level. I think often there's a bigger, broader value. And so it's going to be convincing people to see the bigger picture as opposed to just the singular thing that you're trying to do. Internally, we have what we call the Salesforce Guild. And so they work with folks in the departments that have an idea or an app. And this is where I like to say that IT really has stepped up its game in terms of being more coaches and mentors and trainers. So we'll sit with those folks that are willing to put their time into developing an application. And I'll have to say a lot of that is actually on their own time.
Okay.
That they are doing that. And we will coach them through that process to make sure that, you know, is it in line architecturally and security and all of those things. Because often we just think we know what we want and we're just going to build it. So I think there's some of those challenging questions that folks are starting to have to think about. And that part actually excites me a lot because that whole critical thinking is something that can be used across anything, right? So the more we can get people asking these questions is also part of sparking the whole innovation of why do I do this? You know, right? So I think being able to push back a little bit and say, make sure you know who your audience is. Who's going to work on that? What does it look like? How does it feel? You know, walk me through a process and get challenged a little bit on that is going to make one, the app better, right? And two, you might find out nobody's going to use this, right? Which you thought it's not quite going to work the way, you know, we would use it. So make sure that if you're building something that's for you, that you're bringing your users in and you're making sure that they're going to use it the way that you believe it to be.
To learn more about the case study showcased in today's episode, visit sfdc.co/carry. That's sfdc.co/CARY. We will see you next time on Our Digital Nation.
Thank you for tuning into Our Digital Nation. To learn more about the trends and technology behind the discussion, visit us at salesforce.com/industries/government, or follow us on Twitter at SalesforceGOV.